Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. We finished examining chapter 10, verse 1, when I ran out of time. So please go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and we will begin at verse 2. As a reminder, the major topic for Romans, chapter 10, is the word of faith brings salvation. The Bible says, verse 2, "For I testify about them that they have a certain enthusiasm for God, but not in accordance with correct and vital knowledge about Him and His purposes." Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. Paul is highlighting what is often seen in churches even today. Christians love Jesus, but they do not have correct and vital knowledge of God's word. As a result, they live in defeat and die prematurely. This is why it is so very important for each Christian to study the Holy Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us God's truth. Because Satan is good at half-truths that can deceive those who are not knowledgeable of the truth of God's word. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse 3. It says, "For not knowing about God's righteousness, which is based on faith, and seeking to establish their own righteousness based on works, they did not submit to God's righteousness." Here's my comment regarding verse 3. Key point. God's righteousness is based on faith in His Word, Jesus the Christ. Self-righteousness is falsely based on one's works, even good works. Now, I do want to read the footnote that is given in my Bible. Again, I'm using that Amplified Study Bible. And the footnote highlights self-righteousness. And this is what they have to say about self-righteousness. "There are two things which hinder people from submitting themselves to God's plan of salvation. The first is ignorance of God's own righteous character. And the second is human pride. No one is ever a candidate for Christ's righteousness unless he sees himself as utterly devoid of all possibility of attaining on its own merits." So keep in mind, family, when we come to Christ, we have to let go of that old self, those sins that kept us trapped in bondage and defeated. Let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 4. "For Christ is the end of the law. It leads to Him, and its purpose is fulfilled in Him. For granting righteousness to everyone who believes in Him as Savior." Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. Jesus Christ completed the law. All of the Old Testament prophetic words spoken of the Messiah led to Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled the redemptive plan of God for mankind. Once and for all, we have eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. All right, let's read verse number 5 from the Bible. It says, "For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law with all its intricate demands shall live by it." Here's my comment regarding verse number 5. Under the Old Testament, those saints had to keep every part of the law. It was a system of works unto right standing until the Messiah could be born and complete his redemptive assignment. The law proved to be impossible to keep, and it could never eternally satisfy our salvation. Only Jesus was able to do that. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 6. It says, "But the righteousness based on faith, which produces a right relationship with him, says the following, 'Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?'" That is, to bring Christ down. All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 6. Righteousness based on faith reconciles man back to God through Jesus. Completed work. And Jesus came down from the heavenlies to complete his work willingly because of his love for us. All right, let's go to the Bible and read verse number 7. "Or who will descend into the abyss?" That is, to bring Christ up from the dead, as if we had to be saved by our own efforts, doing the impossible. Here's my comment regarding verse number 7. Further, Jesus voluntarily descended into hell to serve our sentence of death and provide us eternal life with our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's read verse number 8 from the Bible. It says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is, the word, the message, the basis of faith which we preach. All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 8. The good news message can only be in one's mouth and near our heart if someone takes the time and effort to preach it to us. Then once we hear the word and believe it, then we can speak it with faith and enjoy the promises that God established with the precious blood of the perfect Lamb. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, "Because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." All right, let's read my comment regarding verse number 9. Here is the recipe for salvation in Jesus. Listener, pay close attention. Believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God who died to save you from eternal death. Then, number 2, confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. Every Christian should understand this simple formula and be able to lead others to Christ. This is how we can save others from living under the curse and eternal death in hell. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 10. It says, "For with the heart a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is, being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation." All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 10. The key component for operating in the God kind of faith is to act or take action on the promises of God. This is the reason why, to be saved, you do not only need to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but you must also step out in faith by saying so with your own words. Saying is an action, and in this case, you are acting in faith to receive salvation in Jesus. We have spoken about faith, the God kind of faith, throughout various lessons, but I just as a reminder, the God kind of faith is always the kind of faith that does the word, obedience to God's word. All right, let's read verse number 11. The Bible says, "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever adheres trusts in and relies on him will not be disappointed in his expectations." All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 11. Salvation has been made available to every man, woman, and child. All we need to do individually is to believe and confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. Then the rich promises recorded in the Holy Bible are ours for the taking. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 12. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is Lord over all of us, and he is abounding in riches, blessings for all who call on him in faith and prayer." All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 12. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Jesus is Savior and Lord over all of us, and his blessings are for those who believe in faith and claim them. The blessings manifest in our lives by confessing them in faith. You have not because you ask not. That supporting scripture can be found in James chapter 4, verse 2. Remember, faith is doing God's word, like praying and confessing God's word over your life. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 13. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer will be saved." Here's my comment regarding verse number 13. Paul again reminds us that we must take action by calling on the name of Jesus to be saved. Faith in God's word always starts with us taking action. In other words, doing God's word. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse 14. It says, "But how will people call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, messenger?" Verse 14, here's my comment. Listeners, we are ambassadors for Christ in this dying world. People all over the world, our communities, and within our families are waiting to hear the good news of Jesus. Each Christian is appointed to the ministry of reconciliation. Be a messenger for Christ and save the lost. Amen. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse 15. It says, "And how will they preach unless they are commissioned and sent for that purpose? Just as it is written and forever remains written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." Here's my comment regarding verse 15. Maybe you do not feel equipped to preach to others, but you can do so by financially supporting those ministries that are teaching the uncompromising word of God. It is through tithes and offerings that ministries like ours can accomplish the work that God has us doing. So if you cannot go yet, then send others to preach the good news. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 16. It says, "But they did not all pay attention to the good news of salvation. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" Here's my comment regarding verse 16. Family, don't get discouraged when your loved ones don't listen to this message of love. Know this, that as long as you are obedient to share the word of God, you are planting a seed of faith that will be watered by another Christian, and God will give the increase. That is our obligation as Christians, is to share. God is responsible for that individual to grow in his word. All right, let's go to verse number 17. The Bible says, so faith comes from hearing. What is told and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. Here's my comment regarding verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. We must never stop hearing God's word, because each time we hear his word, faith comes and grows stronger in our inner man. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse number 18. It says, but I say, did they not hear? Indeed they have. Their voice, that of creation bearing God's message, has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the farthest ends of the world. Here's my comment regarding verse number 18. God's word has been declared and is reaching all parts of the world. But just because a person hears the word does not mean they have understanding to believe. This is why we need to study, so we can share God's word with accuracy and clarity. Then ask the Holy Spirit to give you the right audience that can receive from you. All right, let's go to the Bible and read verse number 19. It says, but I say, did Israel fall to understanding that the gospel was to go also to the Gentiles? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation, Gentiles, with a nation that lacks understanding. I will make you angry. Here's my comment regarding verse number 19. Israel did fail to understand that they were selected to be the first messengers of the gospel. The good news was always intended for all mankind, not just a select few, Israel. And to keep the record straight, those selected to the fivefold ministry are not special. All of God's people are special. Ministers are held more responsible for God's word because they are to lead God's people to Christ through accurate teaching and godly living. We should be examples of Jesus on earth so that others will see our light and follow our lead. Amen. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 20. It says, then Isaiah is very bold and says, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not consciously ask for me. Here's my comment regarding verse 20. God is speaking and declaring that he revealed himself to us, Gentiles, even though we did not seek or ask for him. This is a result of God's grace and love for all mankind. Let's read the final scripture for chapter number 10, which is verse number 21. The Bible says, but of Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands in compassion to a disobedient and obstinate people. Here's my comment regarding verse 21. Paul closes this chapter by reminding Israel that God has always been with them, showing them his love and forgiveness even in their disobedience. Well, family, that concludes chapter number 10. Let's go on to chapter number 11 of the book of Romans. The major topic for chapter 11 is Israel is not cast away. Israel is not cast away. The Bible says in verse number 1, I say then, has God rejected and disowned his people? Certainly not. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. Apostle Paul clarifies that although people reject and rebel against God, God loves us so much that he never disowns or abandons mankind. He is always ready to forgive and cleanse us of our sins when we turn back to him. So I have said this on many occasions, but this is a wonderful time to remind every Christian, when we messed up, when we get out of line with the word of God, that is not the time to run from God. Run to him, ask for forgiveness, and repent. Amen. All right, let's read verse number 2 from the Bible. It says, God has not rejected his chosen people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel. Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. Paul comforts the Israelites and reminds them God has not rejected them even though they worship false gods. However, disobeying God's word allows Satan to attack us if we do not repent and follow the word of God. That is the danger of sinning when you know better, because Satan will use that against you. Family, don't go there. It will only lead you to destruction. All right, let's read from the Bible verse number 3. It says, Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altars, and I alone am left of the prophets, and they are seeking my life. Here's my comment regarding verse number 3. Elijah's recorded words are quoted by Paul to remind Israel of their evil deeds against God, and the prophets pleads against them. Sometimes one must shame an evildoer of his past transgressions to get his attention or her attention so they can come to their right mind and seek their living God through Jesus Christ. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse number 4. But what is God's response to him? I have kept myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. I love God's response to Elijah. God is always looking for a person or a small group of people who are faithful and obedient to stand and proclaim his truth. This verse reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says that the Lord asked, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Elijah said, here am I, send me. Listeners, are you willing to go on behalf of your Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? All right, let's go to verse number 5 in the Bible. It says, so too then, at the present time, there has come to be a remnant, a small believing minority, according to God's gracious choice. Here's my comment regarding verse number 5. God always works with a remnant, a small believing minority, that are fortified with the word of God and full of compassion to share with others. It is not always easy to stand before believers and or unbelievers because not everyone present is ready to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. This is why we must do the work of the Lord in his strength and timing. Let the Holy Spirit give you the words and the right occasions to share with those individuals that the Holy Spirit knows is ready to receive. Amen. All right, let's read verse number 6 from the Bible. It says, but if it is by grace, God's unmerited favor, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. It would not be a gift, but a reward for works. Here's my comment regarding verse number 6. Paul reminds Israel that they were chosen by the grace of God, not by their works or labor. Please keep this in mind as we serve in ministry. Don't think for a moment that our good works makes us better than others. What it does mean is that we have a greater appreciation for what God did for us in Jesus. We have knowledge and understanding of God's word, and as a result have chosen to share our love for God with others. I liken it to a grateful child who loves and appreciates their parents versus an ungrateful child who hates and comes against their parents. The parents love both children, but pities the ungrateful child and hopes that one day the ungrateful child will come to their right mind. All right, let's continue with verse number 7. It says, "What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking, that is, God's favor by obedience to the law. But the elect, those chosen few, obtained it, while the rest of them became hardened and callously indifferent." Let me give you my comment regarding verse number 7. Because people have free wills, each of us must decide for ourselves whether we will believe and accept our Heavenly Father's word and obey. There will be some in the same family that will, and others that will not. We should never stop praying for others' salvation, but ultimately, each person must accept for themselves. It is no different for the nation of Israel. They were given a godly gift that they did not appreciate or value. All right, I'm looking at my time, and my time is up, family. So please come back next week as we continue our study on the Book of Romans, our guidebook for Christian living. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.